Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today, and welcome to episode 43 of Defining Duke Ultimate, a Defining Duke supplement. Today, we're finally sitting down to have our chat about the Halo Infinite multiplayer. We thank you so much for your patience. As always, I'm joined by the Master Chief himself, Lord Cognito.
Yo, what's going on, gentlemen? Ultimate, the collabo is here. Mm-hmm. This is the highly anticipated guest request that they've been killing us in the comment. Comment, yeah. Boys, you can get off us now. He's here. The legendary Chris Raygun, man. I'm doing good, though.
Good. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm having a fucking blast constantly every day now, which is nice. A nice change of pace. I've been waiting for something like this for ages, but...
Absolutely. Well, let's dive straight into it. Obviously, the audience has been patient enough, so we don't really need to delay any further. We apologize that you had to wait so long for us to get Chris on. I know.
Yeah.
But don't worry. When we do our little spoiler cast review discussion, you'll get sick of Chris because you'll be having so much Halo Chris here on this show. But anyway... Let's talk multiplayer, gents. Let's begin with general impressions. Where are we at with this right now? We've had a good week with it. We got to see some of the changes to the challenge system. We got to feel out those maps, those weapons, those modes. And Chris, let's start off with you. Where are you at right now with this?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling real good about it. I really love it. It really does remind me of just those classic. Like, it reminds me of like Halo 2, Halo 3 style, like that time. Of just like, this is actually just straight up fun. And, you know, there are playlist concerns. I think there needs to be, you know, a little bit more in as far as like game modes go. But like what's here is really, really solid and like an amazing foundation. This is definitely like, in my opinion, the best 343 made Halo game that they've ever put out. And I would honestly put it around where Reach is, in my opinion. Like it obviously the game's not out yet. We don't know about the campaign. So like a lot of it is kind of up in the air, but right now I'm feeling like I might even like this more than Reach right now, which is crazy because I like Reach is like a pretty controversial like game, but I loved Reach back when it came out, controversial design decisions notwithstanding. And the fact that 343 can put out a game that even has me questioning whether or not it's better than one of the old Bungie titles is a pretty huge achievement in my opinion. And I'm just having fun. It's just, I wake up in the morning thinking about it. I have a hard time like putting the controller down, like being like, all right, I got to work on something, but like, damn, I want to play Halo. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on it. I get to like talk and like hang out with my friends all the time. And like, there's always new people coming in and jumping out. It really is that classic, like, late 2000s feeling that I'm getting, and it's really, really solid. And obviously there are things that need to change and we'll get into that later, but those are my impressions right now. I'm having a blast.
Cog, how about you?
Bro, the king is back. He's back. I mean, Chris said it beautifully. It's one of those things where it's like you sometimes you forget why you fell in love with something, right? And why something really captivated you in a manner. And this took me back. I mean, this took me back even as far as the Combat Evolved, you know, LAN party, four TVs, Ethernet cable, you know what I mean? Then to Halo 2 and so on and so forth. But it just feels good. It, you know, totally addicted. The gunplay is on point. Time to kill feels right. You know, I realized during my Halo history, I'm not as good as I thought I was in my mind. So I realized that, like, there are a lot of weapons now that I'm finding comfort in. And I'm like, okay, this is for me. I'm good here, you know, the kind of thing. But it's just this good balance of gunplay, you know, balance. And I will say, like Chris was kind of alluding to, big team battle really hit for me because I'm in an Xbox Live party. It's like 12 people cycling in and out and everybody's jamming. I can't really put words to describe it, but yeah, man, they've really got it. Obviously, we know we got our playlist issues. We know we got a lot of things on this progression we're going to talk about. But as far as the core gameplay, it's now... We're arguing now where it is in the pantheon of Halos now, because it's that great where you're like, yo, this is up there. But I'm curious with you, Maddie, like now that you've got more time with it and, you know, with the stealth drop on my birthday, but you know, where are you at with it, man? How you feeling?
I love it. You know, I'm, you know, it's funny. You brought up right in the beginning, you know how you forget how much you love something. And at the beginning of the year, we had a question on Defining Duke, which was, do you like Halo or Gears more? And I think, in all honesty, 343 with Halo 4 and 5 kind of eviscerated the strong love I had for that series, because before Infinite comes out, I decided, hey, let's just rip through all of MCC. Let's go through Halo 5. Let's play like every story. And when I went back to especially the Bungie ones, I was reminded like, okay, this is why I played these all the time as a kid, both multiplayer and just replaying those campaigns. And now with Infinite coming out, like a new modern Halo game, and it being very good, very fun, you know, I almost feel like my answer has changed on that, because I originally picked Gears. But now seeing a good current Halo release and being reminded of the fun it has, the social stuff you all wonderfully brought up, you know, again, I was like, this is what Halo is all about. It's not just at times a game. It's this it's a way to connect people, yes. Which is what I think gaming in a lot of ways is, of course. But Halo just has that special tendril, if you will, kind of like Halo 3, where it was its almost own media platform, as Chris has put it. And I feel like Infinite, in a way, is starting to touch those levels. Just, it's always on your timeline. You're always seeing people online. It's easy to get into a game with friends. When you get in there, the emergent gameplay is really what's won me over. It's what got me, because I love good multiplayer. I've played it my entire life, right? Like, I think of Modern Warfare 2, you know, these matches that kind of go by the books. But with games like, I would say Overwatch was one that really connected with me. I sank like 500 hours into it. Smite. There's just these moments in those games to me that you can't replicate. So while you're on the same maps, every match goes differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Halo Infinite, with its sandbox elements and its really well-designed maps for the most part, every match feels different. Every match has its moments, whether it be you or a friend. And that's just something that only good design can bring. So I'm really celebrating this release, been enjoying it a lot, hopping on it whenever I can. And just to wrap up my thought, a lot of people know I've been looking for that home base game, right? Mm-hmm. Like the place that's a little stay at home game. I'll always come back to this one. I think Halo Infinite's finally it. I think I finally got that game that just feels right, that I can pick up and play short or long term, and I can always call it home. So I'm really, really digging it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That creative sandbox is something else, like you said. It's just the things that I see online and the things that I see my friends do, and I'm just like, how is that even possible? You realize all the things. You have to think it into an existence sometimes, and you're like, yo, I could actually do this. It's so crazy, man. We're going to get into it.
There are so many moments where you're just like, can I do this? And it turns out you totally can. Especially in Big Team Battle, man. I think Big Team Battle really shines here in a way that it really hasn't before. Like, I've always loved Big Team Battle. I think Halo 3 was, like, really solid with it, especially because that was, like, a perfect marriage of, like, a lot of really cool equipment, but also, like, strong vehicles. Yeah. And right now, it's, like, kind of in that same spot where the vehicles are really tough now. Like, I remember in the flights, they felt a lot weaker to me in the flights. Like, I felt like I could tear through those things, like, really easily. Now they're like formidable, but at the same time, you've got this like grapple hook, especially like there's one map specifically. I think it's High Power. Mm-hmm. It's like this kind of like two bases, like a big rock wall in the middle. And the Wasp is like really oppressive on that map. Yeah. And it's like, oh, they're so high up. How do I get up there? It's like, I can't. They're too far to grapple. Mm-hmm. And then you realize like, wait a minute, I could like grapple the mountain, momentum my way up there, and then grapple onto it. And it's like, you think about that, it's like, oh, can I do that? And you can. And that's so sick. I haven't had like a first person shooter function in that way in a very, very long time. I know Battlefield is like a very sandbox driven environment too, but like there's something about this and like the sci-fi nature of it, and the fact that there is no fall damage, and the fact that like it really sets you free upon the environments to really play in a way that you really can't play in other games. And it's just, it's so, so good. The core gameplay here is just so, so damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people talk about the grapple, and of course it's hard to imagine, I think, Halo now without it, which is, I think, again, a testament to what 343 has made here with the sandbox and the level of interactivity. But I think it's stuff like the repulsor too. You know, I don't have multiplayer matches much nowadays where something happens, I go, oh, whoa, I didn't know you could do, like, what? Yeah. And so I had my repulsor, and I think I was playing on Livewire, right? A little arena match. A guy gets a little too close to me, and I go to bounce him back because he's in my face and I want to throw off his aim. There's a wall there, and I was very close to him. So when I bounced him back, I get this metal called Pancake.
Woo!
And I'm guessing what happens is if you repulse them and they're close to the wall, you could just smush them. And I was like, you know, that was really cool. I just didn't expect it. You know, I don't think it's like a one hit kill or anything. I haven't replicated it since, but it was mm-hmm. like that moment where I like audibly went, oh, like that. You know,
yes.
I just, and it's so hard, especially for us who we play a lot of games. We talk about them a shit ton. For us, I think it's easy for games to just glance off of us. I know maybe for the audience that could be hard to relate to, but we just play so much that for me to get audible reactions is like a huge deal. It's a huge deal. It's like, wow. This game in a standard multiplayer arena match where I'm just kicking my feet up got a reaction out of me.
Yeah.
And again, that's where the design of it really shines. Cog, is anything with the equipment caught you off guard? Or
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, you know, shout out to my thruster being back because I've been crutching. I've been Halo 5 crutching on that thing. Like, as soon as I'm in danger, I'm boosting the hell out of it. It is my evasive maneuver. So shout out to that. Actually, I want to give them a shout out on UI because I was playing around, and again, what I realized, Cog realized, the skills are definitely not where they need to be, and I need to improve. So someone was telling me, use your UI enemy coloring, and I put it to, like, pineapple. And, bro, I'm seeing people way out on the map on Big Team Battle, and it, my identification of forward and friendly is so much better now. So I made some tweaks to the adjustment. But to your question, as far as equipment, Repulsa, I had a Repulsa moment. I had terrible with it, but I had a moment. It was an engaging firefight. I'm trying to back up. They toss grenades to finish me off. I repulse, and then I popped a rare achievement by killing him with his own grenade. So I was like, and the fact that they even had an achievement in that fashion, I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, right now it's been that. The drop wall, I've been using that a little bit, but grappling hook is still beast. It's still the traversal. Right. It's still seeing the things that you can kind of come up with. But I've been really liking it, man. Those have been probably my three right now that I've been really rocking it, but I know we'll get into weapons, but I definitely want to talk about weapons because there's a lot of weapons that I'm truly...
Let's get into it. Go for it.
All right. Yo, Arc, what is it? The Sentinel Beam? Bro, like, I'm eviscerated. Like, I found my happy place. I'm like, like, if they're in this specific range, bro, I'm eviscerated. And then it's very satisfying to see their body erupt. So I've been loving that. And low key, I know everybody's BR. I get it. But yo, Pistol Pete is out here, man. Regular standard sidekick. Bro, I am lacing cats with this thing. I'm like, it's, I don't want to say it's Halo Combat Evolved level, but as a default weapon, it's pretty powerful in my opinion. But those are the ones off top. The Disruptor, I'm using, finding weapon disable functionality with it. So it's like a pistol, but it shoots like kind of like an arc kind of a thing. And Heat Wave, I'm getting a little better with vertical slice shots kind of lined up and stuff like that. But overall, what I'm noticing, I do got to complain one thing. The pulse carbine.
I can't
with that, right? I'm trying. Y'all got to help me out. Chris, you got to help me out.
So, dude, that thing, like, I hated it for a very, very long time. And there's something about that gun that's like very unusual, where it's like, it's kind of like this weird BR that like is only functional at like a very specific range. So it's very like, I wouldn't recommend picking it up over pretty much anything, but you can get some dirty shots with that thing, especially because it homes in. So you can shoot,
right,
take cover, and then like while you're in cover, the guy's dead. You know, like if you get like consistent headshots with it, it kills faster than the BR in my experience, which is like, you know, but the trade-off is obviously they can see it coming, they can dodge, they can thrust out of the way.
Right.
You know, so there's like a bit of a risk-reward to it.
Gotcha.
But that's one of the weaker ones, I would admit, just because of its situational nature. But I got to shout out the Mangler, man. The Mangler is so goddamn nice. It feels like this just the weight of it, the heavy slug, the slow rate of fire. That sounds like a negative thing. It's like, oh, who wants a gun with a slow rate of fire? But it feels so strong. It feels to me like the Halo Combat Evolved Magnum in like a brute weapon. And if you get headshots with it,
oh my god,
a three shot headshot kill, perfect metal with that thing is one of the most satisfying things. Also, like the pop a shot in melee with the blades, just like instantly eviscerating everybody. That thing is sick.
Yes.
They fixed the gravity hammer, which is nice because that thing like sends people flying now. And it didn't in the flights, which is like, I'm happy to see that.
Yep.
The sword.
Let's go.
Look, the sword grapple hook combo is nasty. It is one of the most disgusting. It is so like that. It having the grapple hook and the sword in this game is like having the sword in Halo 2, where just like it almost feels broken, but it's so much fun that I'm glad it's there anyway, because it's just like the sheer joy of Spider-Maning around the map like a goddamn ninja is so satisfying. But all in all, man, like this weapon sandbox is really, really good. Yeah. Like it's really it feels really tuned. Mm-hmm. I wish there were a little bit more like I still miss things like the brute shot.
Okay.
Where you could like kind of like shoot the ground and like get a boost, but I guess you have like the repulsor for that. So like they kind of like split up the functionalities. I think the plasma pistol is still really useless. I don't see any reason to go for even some of the weapons that I was down on in the flights, like the shock rifle and the disruptor. Mm-hmm. I found reasons to pick up. Like I've found ways to be effective with it, especially that headshot kill with the shock rifle at long distance. Like it's actually like a really useful weapon, and I'm finding a lot more uses for every weapon but the plasma pistol.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, that's the one weapon where it feels like it's there because it's a Halo game,
right?
Yeah.
And it needs it, and that's like the only reason it's there. And
quick question, not to cut you, but
for sure,
because you mentioned it. Does the old combo work where it was like charge up, knock off the shield, switch, and then finish off? Is that still there?
It does. It's just the time it takes to charge, the lack of homing comparison to previous games.
Right, that's it.
It's just like you can melt a shield away faster with an assault rifle than you can with the charge shot from the plasma pistol. So it's almost not even. And it doesn't EMP vehicles anymore, which I was fine with, as long as maybe they buffed the tracking on it. So that way it could at least EMP enemy or like enemy shields. But I don't know. Like that's the one weapon, in my opinion, that just feels a little bit off. The Ravager, I'm not super big on either.
That one.
It's good against vehicles.
Yeah, that and big team battle, when you get those teams that are really clustered up and they're all hanging out in one spot, you do the full charge and you just lay out the goo or whatever the hell it is, and it just starts burning the ground. They have to run.
Yeah,
that's like the one time I think it's good. It's good for like very I think like Stronghold is where it's good, like very specific modes where they're going to be sitting on a point or sitting on an area of land where you just got to clear them out. But otherwise it's really not that great. Like there are definitely more weapons that I personally would pick up over it. It's one I typically avoid. You know what's underrated? I guess it wouldn't go under the category. It would go under the category of weapons. Is the plasma coils, the fusion coils. The things that you can pick up and throw.
Yeah.
I mean, nailing someone square with one of those is the biggest fuck you can deliver in a multiplayer game, I think. Especially if you like grapple shot it in and just like whoosh, whoosh. Bolt right into his chest.
Yes.
You know you can catch them?
Really?
Really?
I saw somebody catch one. I was like, I don't understand.
I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
It is really, really goddamn cool. The fusion coil is like one of my favorite new additions. Like, I'm glad that there's just this random, and it's so silly. Like, I like it because it's just, if you could tell that obviously there's like a huge esports focus on Halo. Like, they just had the like some championship game yesterday that had like 50,000 views on Twitch. Like some crazy thing.
Right.
And it was really fun to watch, but like it's weird because it's like it's a very competitive game, right? Mm-hmm. But then you have this thing, you can throw a box. It's just like it feels like it's a perfect mix of this, like, hey, we're going to give you like a really competent sandbox. We're going to give you a really tightly designed game with like really tightly designed maps, but here's a game mode where you got to toss batteries back to your base. Like it really feels like that social Slayer kind of environment. That's like they struck such a good balance, which is great because Halo 4 was so casual and Halo 5 was so sweaty.
Yeah,
that to have a game like this where I can play with my friends and we're going through a game of like Stockpile or Capture the Flag or Slayer, and we're just chatting, we're just talking, we're just hanging out, we're just relaxed. I didn't have that in Halo 5 because Halo 5 was so stressful.
Yes.
It was just like, get the guy top mid. It's it's like, even when you didn't care because you had to win any engagement, like, and just to have this like social environment again, this casual environment again, alongside that competitive environment with the ranked playlists and all that stuff is like really, really great. And the sandbox is pretty damn good. And I got to shout out the maps too. Like, I don't think we're at Halo 2 level maps. Exactly. That's like a game that's so unfairly like I don't understand what happened. That game has like, I think still to this day, like the best multiplayer map selection in any video game ever released. So I don't think it's necessarily there, but I do think we did play the worst map in the flights.
Yeah.
Really?
And that was, I think.
Interesting.
I think Bizarre. And I don't even think Bizarre is bad, by the way.
Okay.
I just think like every map that I've played so far in the full game has been fairly like Aquarius gets way too sweaty for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Aquarius is the comp map for sure. Like,
yeah, sure. Especially in like Capture the Flag. It's like, oh my God. Capture the Flag on Aquarius is like my personal hell.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But aside from that, man, like this is like a really solid. Like a really solid amount of utility and like a really solid amount of variety. I wish there was more like environmental variety and like,
I want
like some snow maps. Give me like a Covenant themed map. Mm-hmm. Give me something different than, you know, grass and forest. And
yeah.
I do like that nighttime one with the shade turret. That thing's so
Yeah. That's a good switch up for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But could use a little bit more in that department.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because the maps from the flight, Bizarre withstanding, like I really like Live Fire. I love Fragmentation. I think that's the best big team battle map. Not that the other ones are bad, just I thought they kind of showed their stronger hand. So it's really interesting to hear you say that because outside of, I have my qualms with Aquarius, but otherwise I don't know if there's really a map I truly dislike. The one with the wasp, I always forget its name.
High Power.
Yeah. That one I go a little back and forth on, but because it's very simple, like three lanes, it's really easy to lock down. And I think it kind of, because there's just a big wall in the middle, some of that sandbox nature can get stripped out outside of the outskirts of the map. Mm-hmm. So I go back and forth on that one, but I'm with Chris on the idea that there's just such a good suite of maps here that are always providing moments. I think Streets is one of the best competitive level maps I've seen in a really long while because you can play it casually and competitively, which is really hard to do, right? Because we were just talking about Aquarius, how like, dude, right away, my first ever match on Aquarius, I was like, this is a competitive map. Like, but I don't really think you get that feeling on Streets. Like, Streets has a vibe to it. Its art design is completely different. It's really awesome seeing like New Mombasa up close and personal like this. But beyond that, I think it's such a fun, like the way that they have the power open like right at the heart of the map, and the way they lay the objectives out for every mode, it just feels like it was designed for that emergent gameplay I was talking about. Like, just skirmishes can happen anywhere, there's places to hide but not really. Like, you got these little cubby corners here and there, but they're not exactly the best cover. I don't know, I just really enjoy when that map fires up because they don't also, the only weapons that they give you that are really close quarters that I can think of is the Bulldog.
Right.
So it really is on the competitive level, the may the best man win here, because what, like, especially in ranked arena, which is what I've been playing a lot of lately.
Yeah.
You know, you got those BRs. It's you versus them, man.
The ranked playlist, like no radar BR starts. So much. It's so weird because like usually ranked is so frustrating because it's like hard and sweaty. But for some reason, I found myself like really enjoying ranked a lot more than quick play.
Yeah.
Purely because, and we can get into this later.
Do it.
But
do
the
it.
Playlist variety here is bad.
Yes.
It's not. Like, I don't understand how a Halo game can launch, and I know it's like, oh, it's a beta. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
The game's out. We're playing it. First impressions are everything. You gotta have a Team Slayer playlist. Like, I like the objective games. Like, I actually really like Stockpile, as weird as that game is. It's
oh,
like chaotic.
My.
And,
wow.
And
plant the seeds.
No,
it's so,
I will pass.
It's so weird. And, like, the fact that you can, like, repulsor, like, all of them at once. Yeah. It's like, it just, like, it feels like a big silly mode. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just feels like nonsense. Capture the Flag is fun. I like the intensity of Total Control. I like Big Team Slayer. I like all of these new modes when I want to play them. But when I want to play Slayer and I'm just hoping for Slayer and I'm in like Capture the Flag and it's like, oh my God, I'm not in this mode right now. And then even worse, when I'm in the mode for Capture the Flag and everybody else isn't.
Yeah.
That's even more frustrating because now it's like you got these people, like I've had people pick up the flag and just like stand with it. And it's like, cause they're, it's almost like they're like protesting. I don't want to play capture the flag. This is my picket sign. And I'm like, yo, I don't like, I feel like a lot of the problems that are arising right now, as far as the enjoyability of every match and like the variety of every map, there does need to be more game modes. There do need to be more playlists. But I think the enjoyability of every match would go a long way if they just had Team Slayer as a playlist. Because you can go into objective when you're feeling objective with other people who are also feeling objective. And you can and all the people who want to play Slayer can go into Slayer. And I understand that there's like a worry there that maybe like, oh, maybe people won't try the new game modes. Or maybe people won't try objective. I promise you that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Because people, like, first of all, they've been forced to play it several times, so they probably have gotten some taste for some of them. And I think, like, with a team, objective is a lot of fun. And I don't think that, like, having a Team Slayer playlist negates that. It's never been a problem with any other Halo game beforehand. I've always been able to get objective games in Halo 3, Halo 2 when that was out, Halo Reach even.
Yeah.
So... yeah, the fact that like a free to play game that is available to the most people possible, that more people than probably have ever been able to really have access to a Halo game before. There's no reason that a Team Slayer playlist would completely kill objective. Like the player base is simply too high. The barrier of entry is simply too high. I assure you people will play objective if you let them choose to. And it'll be a better experience for everybody because of it. And it's just that one change would go a long way.
I completely agree. I think also the issue I have is not only that, you know, you'll get into an objective match, but I'm actually frustrated with the fact that there's no voting system, right? So like, say for example, you know how you get in those ruts and it's like, okay, oddball again. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, all right, I like it. It's fun.
In my language.
You know what I mean? You know, but it's like, we gotta have that. Now, to their credit, I do like, I messed around to test matchmaking without crossplay, solos with controller input and to see how that was. And surprisingly, it was populated. Yeah, Magic took maybe a couple of minutes, a minute or two more to get into, but I was happy that existed. But to your point, Chris, I do feel like it's not going to hurt to have a dedicated Slayer Team Slayer kind of playlist, especially if that's what people want to do. So the vibe I'm getting is they wanted to land the plane from a gameplay standpoint, and I get it. They nailed that. I know you want to make sure that should always be top focus. But now, as this thing starts to settle, if this is not corrected, they will lose people because there's people like, yo, I don't want to do all this other stuff. I just want to team deathmatch. You know, I want to get my Slayer on kind of thing. So they got to work on that. And the last complaint I have, I feel quick play shouldn't have skill-based matchmaking. That to me seems a little weird. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought, and I also, there's not enough transparency, I feel, with the skills. I want more stats. I want more information. I want to know where I sit kind of thing. So I still think on the UI, there's little drill downs that feel weird. They still got to figure things out. I understand they're getting it out, but they still got to tweak. Otherwise, it's going to be problematic. What are you thinking about this whole matchmaking playlists? Where you at?
Yeah, it's really an echo of what both of you said. I found it kind of disappointing. It was the first thing I said when I fired the game up. I was like, there's no specific mode playlist. And it really ties into what I think has been the largest point of criticism for the game is the battle pass and the challenges. Because what happens is you start to mix up a really ugly group of people, which is people who are playing a mode they don't want to play, going for challenges that they need to progress their battle pass. So they are throwing the game away in two different ways. And look, guilty as charged, hands up right here. I have definitely thrown a match or two to just complete my challenge because it's like, because what happens is it's get 10 kills with the Hydra. It's like, man, okay. That's not the worst one, by the way. It's not the worst one by any stretch. But it's like, okay, we're playing big team battle, CTF. It's like, do I go to the weapon spawn, grab that, and remove a headache? Or do I go for that flag that's mid-map right now? It's about to despawn. I'm going to get the gun. Yeah, I'm going to get the gun. And it's just, you don't put it all on the line quite as much. And what that playlist issue kind of ties into is I think the need for more daily challenges. Of course, the challenge system in general, they've put a good band-aid on it with the with the weekly updates. But I think your match-to-match progression isn't rewarding enough where I'm definitely going off the beaten path when I shouldn't be. And it's, I think, destabilizing play. And I think long term, that can be very damaging to this game. So I think one way to solve that is to give people those playlists, because some people do want to just play and complete the battle pass. Some people just want to play and have fun, which is absolutely awesome. For me, I'm more of a carrot on the end of the stick kind of guy. So I like to do my challenges. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if you need me to play three stronghold matches and I got to pick a playlist and I'm sitting through, I don't know, Team Slayer, I'm sitting through CTF. It's like, man, I just want to play strongholds, because it's weird when I said this before, and I don't mean to repeat myself here, but you have a game that very much has a battle pass formula and the idea of how long you have and you can complete whatever that respects your time. But the system itself does not respect my time when I can't choose what to play to get my challenges done with as soon as possible. So again, I don't mean to drag us right into the challenge discussion, because I know it's been beaten to death at this point. What hasn't been said about it, but I think that there a lot of that is occurring because we just can't even pick what we want to play specifically.
Right. Yeah, no, I think the progression system is garbage. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. Like, I don't care about progression systems, and even I notice. You know, like, I play the game because I like the, I like that emergent gameplay, and I just, like, literally, that's the only reason I play. Like, most of the times, I don't even look at my challenges. I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be doing, because I don't care. But the fact that I'm reminded of the fact that I'm being rewarded so stingily after every match, even though I don't care, is something that's like, I don't know, it's not a great feeling, especially because, like, there's no incentive to win. Your medals don't mean anything. You don't get, like, a match bonus for winning. Even Halo Reach did that. And it's very strange to me that they've dropped the ball on such a obvious, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but, like, it feels like a really surface level, like, easy thing to fix in comparison to something like, oh, how do we get the gameplay feeling right? Oh, how do we get the map design feeling right? Just the progression system, not to devalue any work that people have put into it, but I mean, it really is an overlay on top of the game. Like, it could be altered, I assume, relatively easily. And the fact that they didn't think to, like, hey, maybe we should make a progression system that rewards wins, or maybe we should make a progression system that accounts for medals, or like maybe like positive KDA maybe not positive KDA, because I could see how that could make every map into every single objective game into Team Slayer. Like, I understand that, but you know, just something to reward a player for actually participating in the objective. Like, maybe like in strongholds, like you're rewarded a match bonus for every zone that you capture.
Nice.
You know, like, or time spent holding the flag, you know, or things like that. Like, I don't understand why I could think of this. In fact, I assumed that's what it would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just kind of dropped the ball on this, and it sucks, because I would hate to see a game that is so damn good negatively affected by something so superficial and lame as progression.
Yeah.
Especially in a game where progression doesn't, let's face it, like, it doesn't really mean much in Halo. Like, it's you unlock an armor cosmetic and it affects nothing about your gameplay at all, which I love, by the way. Like, that's like the whole identity of arena shooters. Like, everybody's on equal footing. It's like, may the best man win. Like, you got to learn your map, learn your weapons, learn to strategize with your team. I love those games. But the fact that even I'm noticing, and the fact that even I'm getting bothered when I finish a map and I have like a, like, I just got like 38 kills and like
running right
and three deaths or something, and I get 50 XP.
Shout out to you.
Like, it's frustrating, because you feel like, oh man, I did so well, but it almost feels like the game doesn't care. And you don't want your player to feel like the game doesn't care, because then people won't care. And it's like, all right, well, we got to capture the flag. Nah, I don't think I will.
I'm going to run over there and get these 6 commando kills, though.
I don't know.
No, I'm with you, bro. I'm sorry, continue.
No, it just needs some major tweaks to the progression system.
You preach it, brother. You preach it, Chris. I mean, for me, the guy that actually does care about the cosmetics, because I'm very guilty of Sean. I got to say it again, Maddie. Like, bro, them default suits and thing unlocks are so dusty and like worn out. And then you look at that HCS store and you look at this eSport. I mean, I swear they got ray tracing. I swear it's the most vibrant colors you've ever seen for $10 that you can pay. And then here's the thing that gets on my nerves. I actually bent the knee and did this. All right, I'll get this suit, very black and gold, Iron Lord-ish. I'm like, all right, I got one of them. The thing that sucks is they consider that whole thing a kit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, you can't even mix and match. Like if I want to change one aspect, I go back to the Walmart gear and everything is stripped from my purse. So I'm like, you got to give me more customization because at the end of the day, this game is going to live and die. There are people like me who really care way too much about how this Spartan looks. And I love it with the guns. I love it, you know, with the BR. I told you before, like, I got the Elite controller. It's got a little thing on it where they're showing my Elite controller move. They got all these things to foster monetization. And I'm not mad. Get your money. But at the end of the day, you have to, one, make it balanced for people who actually stick to the free track to have stuff that's worth playing and acquiring for that's on equal level. Even Destiny is not that egregious. There's stuff in Eververse that you could get through Bright Dust, right? Right, Chris? That at least is on par. Like this stuff, it's like night and day. One place is in like Louis Vuitton and the other place, like I said, is Target. So they got to work on
that. Talking rainbows. It's rough, man. Like the progression system is really bad, and like the customization system is not as robust as I wanted it to be. Yes. Like I will say, man. Like the armors look gorgeous. Like all of them look perfect. Like our art design wise, like I'm so happy to see that ugly, like round, like art style from 4 and 5 just completely gone. And like the few that have come over from those games have been like styled in such a way that like feel very Halo, and like I think a lot of the customization looks really nice. I just wish that we could mix and match a little bit more, because there's some really cool things, like really cool attachments that exist that are limited to specific armors, and it's very weird. And like there are armor cores, which I kind of understand armor cores on some level, because it's like, okay, you have the Reach armor core, and then you have like the Infinite armor core, and it's like, oh, and you look at it, it's like, oh yeah, those are the Spartans from Reach, and that's how like they looked. And there's something cool about that, but at the same time, I want to be able to mix and match these armor components freely if I unlock them. I feel like I've earned that right if I progress that far in the battle pass. And by the way, like, I think it's awesome that each armor core has individual prosthetics that are designed specifically for that armor core. Like if you go to the Yaroi samurai armor, which is not unlocked as of yet, if you switch to a prosthetic on that armor core, it's like a like an ancient Japanese like style prosthetic. It looks like the Sekiro arm.
Nice.
And I'm like, that is such a sick idea that I want that Sekiro arm on my Mark VI. You know, like I want that like that prosthetic like Japanese looking arm on my Reach armor core. I want the, you know, the Mark whatever the hell Master Chief helmet on my Reach Spartan. I want June's ghillie suit on my Mark VI or whatever the hell. I can't remember the names.
Right.
But there just needs to be more freedom here. And I understand the point of the coding system monetization wise. I understand like it opens the door for a lot more intricate designs, but we haven't really seen that effectively used as of right now. Like right now there are very few codings. They're locked to specific cores, which is like really disappointing. I don't know why they did that. It's colors. Yeah. And I know that like there was a blog post a while ago that said like, oh, we want to empower player expression. No. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know that that's marketing speak. You got to say what you got to say. But like, you're not going to be able to twist the words in any way that's going to make me feel like, oh, being able to pick my own colors right out the box. Is less free than having to unlock the color white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just not, you can't, there's no amount of mental gymnastics that you can do to make that make sense.
Agreed.
And if they were just like, hey, we got to get money, fair enough. But like, you got to put more shit in there.
Yes.
Like, because right now I've seen like the same, like maybe like six coatings on like everybody except for that one dude who's like always like in
red, white, and blue.
The white blue, or like, oh my god, the America Gundam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy, it was like an eyesore in my opinion. But yeah. I don't know. There's like this one Chips Ahoy skin that really gets on my nerves every time I see it. It's like I saw it only a couple of times. It's like bright yellow and blue, and I'm like, you're like a minion. But
oh my god.
Yeah, the customization needs a little more cross contamination, if you will.
Sure.
And it's funny because for someone like myself, you know, I like I said, I recently went back to Halo 5 for a video, and you know, you're looking at the customization for that, and man, I mean, they've done a better job than that, but I don't think that was a high bar to pass. But yeah, with this one here, I think a big reason they're kind of keeping it so locked down is I remember reading that they didn't want things to look like goofy and weird in this multiplayer. Like they didn't want Master Chief dancing, for example, that type of stuff.
Ooh, gotta talk about
And so I think I can respect their vision on it. I think it's just about an execution of it. Mm-hmm. But then I saw a Reddit post today, which said that everything in the store and plus the battle pass will cost you $1,000 if you were to pay for it. $1,045, I think it was exactly, but over $1,000, to put it simply. And this is one of those situations where when you look at the progression, you look at the storefront, I really want to dish it to you guys for this. Mm-hmm. Would you have rather paid for this?
Ooh.
I think, you know, there comes that conversation. Like, we're happy to see Halo thriving. We're happy to see Xbox having a good fall. And I'm glad about that. But I think throughout this Halo hype, what's sort of been lost is what's best for 343 and what's best for us.
Right.
And on face value, like free download game plays extremely well. So maybe I'm just bitching for no reason here, but if I could have gotten a better progression system with all the bells and whistles, better customization with all those bells and whistles, and they would have monetized it afterwards. But if I could have paid the $60 price tag and would have all came together, or a $30 price tag for the separate multiplayer thing, maybe 20, whatever. I almost would rather do that if it could remove all these headaches initially, because I think, as Chris said, it's kind of marring that. Again, I love that the entry barrier is really low, where people can download this right away, give it a shot. It's 23 gigs right now, so even if you don't have the best internet, like it's a download that's possible, which you can't say about like Warzone, Call of Duty, any of that shit. Like it's just not possible. Yeah. So I love that they're doing that, but I think it just with these problems in this monetization, which again, we're talking about a Microsoft Xbox published game here. They are not hurting for cash, richest company in the world. I know not every dollar that goes to Microsoft goes straight to Xbox, but certainly I don't think they're in a desperate position to reach this far. Where again, I would have happily paid for it. Do you share this feeling? Do you think that they've reached too far here? And if you don't share that opinion, what do you think should be done to fix some of this monetization?
I'll jump in. I think this is where I'm at. I do like the free-to-play model from the standpoint of entry and barrier of entry, because my thing, I feel the player base and account needs to be populated in order to get for what we want. So I do like that. To me, this whole live service thing is always, in my opinion, about habitual line stepping, and I feel they always push just a little bit to see what they can get away with in the beginning, right? And then it's up to us as a community to say, no, yup, bad, no Bungie, no 343, that's too much, pull back, right? Because you're and that's where we are right now. And again, that's that, in my opinion, that internal fight with the boardroom and the dev, right? I think honestly the dev sees what we're talking about. They want to make that change. But the boardroom knows, look, we gave that to you for free, right? But where I'm with Chris, we said about, like, it's so bare bones, lacking a lot of the things that truly push you towards buying, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's really egregious. And it's up to us as a player base to, when they do step over the line, and we're like, yo, that's not it, fam, I'm out. You know what I mean? And then once they see those engagement numbers go down, then it's like, okay, cool, I'm in. But to your point, to your overall question, I do like that it is free to play, because my feeling is when I see my PC brothers download a Steam client, you know, they're playing. I'm seeing, like, I know a lot of my friends who haven't got a Series X and a Series S, right? My boy got it on Xbox One X. He's like, Cog, it's at 60. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. So again, all the different platforms all playing together, to me, makes Halo a better experience. Now we just got to refine it and say, hey, this progression and the way you're doing it and the playlist, that needs work if you want this thing to thrive, because what's going to happen is it's going to dive off a cliff if it remains as is. So that's where I'm at with it.
Chris, what about you?
I appreciate that Charlie Murphy habitual line step.
No, they doing it, man.
I agree. Like, I think it was the right move to go free to play. I think this is a great move. I think the fact that like my entire friends list is on it is like proof enough that that was like a wise decision. I think there are enough whales out there that will pay for like all this shit that will like probably like people at Microsoft are probably like very happy. But I do think like everything's twice as expensive as it should be. Yeah. You know, like I think they could easily like half these prices and like be a lot less egregious and still make out pretty damn well. But at the same time, it's like, I agree, there's nothing really there worth paying for. Like, and for a game that's been, you know, cooking for 6 years, you know, I know not all that's been spent on the game exactly, but it's been 6 years since the last Halo game. I expected more customization here on day one. I expected more content on day one. And I don't think that was unfair, by the way. Like, Bungie delivered time and time again under the most insane, stressful they made Halo 2 in like basically 11 months with like a couple people basically, like there's no reason why modern day 343, modern day Microsoft couldn't put out a game with, you know, Infection, Fiesta, Assault,
Breach,
a robust customization system, a good battle pass on day one after 6 years. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And I know people will be like, hey, making games is hard. I get that. But the fact remains.
Yeah.
6 years.
Six years is a long time to wait for this little content. I think if it was a fleshed out battle pass, man, there's no reason why in a 100 level battle pass, in my opinion, that every two levels should give you a piece of armor or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it's nothing worse than just like leveling up and getting a challenge swap, and it's like, wow, you gave me it's like giving me Advil for my headache, man. It's like thanks, it's, I guess.
And yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, and there are things, by the way, that I don't know if you anticipated touching on, but I want to touch on here because I think they're related. You know, the core gameplay is really great. I think the map design is really good. I think the new game modes are really fun. I think the weapons are really fantastic. I think it looks gorgeous. A lot is going in favor of this game, and the progression system notwithstanding, you know, I'm all right with that. That's not really my wheelhouse anyway. But what I am really disappointed in is custom games right now.
Yeah.
Right now, custom games is broken. I've had the only crashes I've ever had with Halo Infinite have happened when I've tried to launch custom games. I try to set up a custom game. I try to put bots in. The bots don't load. I restart. The bots don't load. I restart the game. The bots are in, but like all my other custom settings are gone. And a lot of curious features are missing. Like you can't set it so people have one life. You can't set weapons to random. You can't do all of these things that you could have done in previous games. And it's confusing because there's really no reason why they shouldn't just take what was in the last game, copy it, and just add more to it. Like, I know it's not as simple as copy paste, but I mean just literally, you know, it almost feels like the custom games were made by a group of people who kind of did it from memory. You know, like they didn't look at the previous games. They didn't see like, all right, what did we have in these games that we could like maybe bring over? It almost feels like, what did we do? Like, I think we could set like people spawning with different weapons. But right now, like, and this was something that I was saying in videos a while ago, was like, wouldn't it be cool to have a custom game type where everybody spawns with a grappling hook? Guess what? You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
That is so wild to me that you can't do that. And I'm sure they'll add that. This is a live service game. It lives and breathes on its flexibility. It lives and breathes on its ability to be modified and tampered with and adjusted and added to. And I have no doubt that we'll see new pieces of equipment later on. I have no doubt that we're going to see new maps and new weapons and all sorts of new shit. But the fact that on day one, we can't set our Spartans to spawn with equipment that you spawn with in campaign, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's already rooted in the game that you can spawn with that equipment. Just put that in the custom games. Okay. And just, like, all of these different things. You can't set weapons on the maps to, like, specifics like you used to. You used to be able to be, like, heavy vehicles only, or, like, Covenant weapons only, or, like, snipers only, or rockets only. You can't do that. You have to go into Forge, presumably, to change the weapon things. And it's like, well, Forge isn't out yet. Yep. Which, again, by the way, I'm sure the Forge is going to be fantastic. Based on what I've seen, based on things that have been leaked to me privately, mm-hmm. I think this Forge is going to be sick. But that's 6 months away.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, man, 6 years in development, I expected at the very least... At the very least, like, I don't care about customization, really. I don't care about a battle pass. I don't care about progression system. But I, at the very least, expected functioning custom games. And I expected 343 to understand the importance of that. That is some of the shit that's kept Halo alive for the last several years, especially in the wake of the Master Chief Collection, the disastrous launch of that, and its resurgence on PC. What are people streaming when they're streaming Halo? They're streaming Duck Hunt with their friends. They're streaming, like, Mongoose Season. They're streaming all of these, like, weird, bizarre custom games. And yeah, they go into matchmaking. Yeah, they go into the main modes. But this is a really important part of the community and a really important part of the game that really needs to be nurtured. And I don't know if maybe the team that's handling the MCC is, like, incredible. And maybe the team handling Infinite just wasn't tapped into that desire from the community, but custom games is not in a place that is acceptable at all, in my opinion. And it is without a doubt, aside from the battle pass, I understand, the worst part of this game so far, because there's just no excuse that it should be this non-functional. I've heard some complaints also about theater mode, although theater mode works fine for me. It's just awkward to control because it's a new control setup, so like I could probably get used to that, but they really need to address custom games. Maybe it's not the most important thing with the battle pass. You got to retain those new players. You got to maybe focus all your efforts there to make sure that new players want to come back, but
yeah,
that needs to be addressed very, very soon, because that is the lifeblood of these games. That is the lifeblood of Halo. Right?
Between that and Forge, those are future modes that they'll be able to use for sure.
I just think it's dumb not to give your players the tools to make your game more appealing to everybody else.
Yeah.
And like, you're just basically like, hey, here's the tools. You go make our game crazy good. Mm-hmm. And they'll happily do it.
Everyone.
I had so many ideas for custom games, but like before this came out, I was like, oh man, I'm going to make like a Spider-Man, like Bionic Commando mode. I'm like really excited. And then I couldn't, because I couldn't spawn with the grappling. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is so disappointing. I guess I can make ourselves, you can make yourself really fast.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you spoke on it, because that is something that no one's really talking about. And I saw your tweets, and it is kind of egregious that the mode is in the state it's in. I do want to touch on 1.2 in reference to, competitive play, because... You know, for me, coming from Halo, and I want to shout out my boy Ty Guy Travis, and we do the last word with Evontis. You know, one of the things we really respect about Halo is the balance, the gameplay, and the fact that there is, you know, a sort of a ranking system in a sense, right? So, but what I don't like is I do feel we need some type of visual representation. I do feel like I need to know where I am in this grand scheme of algorithm that they've created, you know, and because we know it exists. It's just I still feel UI wise and information wise, it just feels messy, just the way things are placed, and I gotta drill down here and drill down there, and even just like moving with your whole fire team, so to speak, from match to match, it just feels things are placed. Do you get that, Maddie? Like, do you feel like things are placed all over the place? I don't know, maybe it's me.
Yeah, I think specifically in the main menu. I remember when I first fired up the flight, I was very confused at what I was looking at, which is a hard feeling to describe because it's a menu.
Right.
It's just a list of options that you can select. But I'm with you on that for sure, because like, you know, like some things weren't responsive. They still aren't responsive, like even pressing Y to open your battle pass and the multiple menus to things like when you finish a match, you can't just carry into another. You have to re-queue. And those queue times are pretty long, even with how popular this game is, which I get. Like, you know, the fact that this game didn't even crash and burn day one, like, is a testament to Microsoft servers. Yes. Just that alone is really awesome to see, because I thought like day one was going to be a wash. I wasn't even ready to play. The fact that I was able to download it like an hour or half an hour after they announced it and play a full match on Streets was really cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the fact that that's not even built into the HUD where you can just requeue or just keep going until you back out the fire team.
Yes.
But that was really weird too. So
yeah,
there's some things that it's weird because like when you design a game, not like I'm a complete expert, but just when you design a game, you look at other games, and especially if you're an established series, you just look at what has been done and you kind of make a list of features of what you can one-to-one, because it makes it really easy for the rest of the team. Like, see this? We're going to do that. Like, see those things, that list of options? Where you don't have to think of it. That's the crazy part. Like, that's what's so weird about this, is you don't have to take that extra step forward and get creative.
Yeah,
it's just a list of options. And I know they're difficult to implement,
of course,
but it's literally a list of options that you go, we're going to do this again. How does it work? Look here. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to break it down in words and pictures and diagrams. It's just there. And it's been done before. And especially when it's been done in-house. It's weird.
Yeah, when they've created it themselves.
Yeah. And again, I know it's not easy. It's not. Right. But the idea that the design part, which can at times be the most complicated manner of like getting everyone on that image in your head on the same page and then having it be implemented via code. Like, that's very difficult to do. So the fact that they've done it, and all they have to do is point and go this.
Yeah.
And it can be done. Yeah. Not can it be done again instantaneously, but you can try to mimic that. I'm glad you brought it up, Chris, because it's something that I admittedly didn't dabble in much, because we're always hopping into those playlists trying to progress in the battle pass. And it's good to know that there were issues there, not because I want there to be issues, but because we probably wouldn't have spotlighted them otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I think I do think the UI is another thing where it's like, it's not necessarily, I think it's a step up from the collection. The collection's a mess from like a menu perspective. Like, I fucking hate the Master Chief Collection menu, but like, yeah, there's some things that are curiously absent. Like, it's strange to me that I can't like Halo 3 had a really cool option where if you played games with people, you could party up with them.
Yeah.
And it's strange that has never been done again. Just like little things like that. And like, I do find that the various styles of menus are a little bit, it's a lot sometimes. It almost reminded me of like the first time I booted up Destiny, and I was like, the fuck? There's a cursor now. There's no cursor, but like, it just feels like, all right, here's the Spartan core section where like you rotate through these like different, it's like, okay, so this is a menu, I guess. All right, so I go in, and then there's like the boxes, and it's like, oh my God, it's the Master Chief Collection again with these damn boxes. And then you go into like the normal list, and it's like, that's good. It's a list. Finally, God. Hmm. Like, I hate this. I don't know why Microsoft insists on doing the boxes all the time.
Yeah.
I hate boxes.
I'm the same way. I hate it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's a testament, though, to how good this game is that, like, even after talking about all this shit, like, I am this whole time, I've just been thinking about playing it.
Yep.
And just like excited to jump into it. It's, hopefully, like, I think this what is it, there's like a new event, the samurai thing happening. Is it today or tomorrow? I can't
think it's
remember.
Tomorrow, actually no, it should be today. It's the start of the week. It goes on for a week. You can unlock the Yoroi armor or whatever, but as of the time of recording this will be different when it goes out to everyone. We don't know what we're going to be doing. We just know there are like event-based challenges for unlocks, so I'm excited for that. I am because now we know that the dates for those events that leaked are going to be accurate. Like, the next one's going to be in January and then another in February. So we'll see what those actually provide. But to kind of end things here, but to lead to our conclusion, do you think anything gets adjusted by the, and I put this in quotes, launch day? Because technically we're in a beta. And obviously there's a lot here that's really good. And there's some stuff that does need fine tuning.
Right.
And the question has been for a lot of people, like, we know it'll get fixed. We know they've heard us. They've communicated that to us. But how quickly do they get it done? The reason I ask that is because, you know, I remember reading a Halo Waypoint post saying, we'll do more progression stuff in future seasons, right? And now we've learned that season one goes till May next year. It's a long time to be waiting for something really that needs to be fixed yesterday. So I want to know, what's the expectation for the official launch day? And when do you think some of these things that were really hitting home about here. That when do you think they get adjusted?
Man,
what you think, Chris?
Obviously, this is just a shot in the dark type of
thing. Yeah.
Just to gauge the feeling here.
I think by launch day, maybe even before launch day, I think we'll probably see more playlists. It would absolutely befuddle me if they did not add Team Slayer before launch day. Like, that to me is like in absolute insanity.
Right.
Like, I'm having a stroke just thinking about the possibility of that. Like, it's just like, I can't accept that reality. So I choose to like hope that the timeline that we're in is the timeline where they choose to put Team Slayer. Yeah. And I do think we're going to see stuff like Infection and stuff like that, because like, I don't know if you've had this glitch, but like sometimes I'll go into the match list and the picture that will be set for it is clearly Infection. It's like a Spartan holding an energy sword with like a skull on his face. It's like, that's clearly Infection as its own mode. And I'm sure we'll see more modes like that. Whether we'll see playlists for that mode remains to be seen. I don't know. Like, I don't know about that. Maybe. Hopefully.
Sure.
Hopefully we will. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, this progression system stuff needs to be fixed real quick. Like, this can't be future season stuff. Like, you've got to, and I understand that might be like a weird situation because maybe you have people like who've spent money on the battle pass, or maybe you have people who are like in the middle of the battle pass who might like all of a sudden it's adjusting. They're like, the fuck did I, you know, what did I buy? Personally, I think, and I don't see any reason why this shouldn't be the case. I think if you buy Halo Infinite, like the campaign, or like if you have it on Game Pass, I think that battle pass should be free.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
And not only that, I think the next several battle passes should be free. I think it should be like a year of free battle passes or something, just to alleviate some of this stuff. Because like I don't think it's right that people who pay $60 for the campaign get nothing for the multiplayer. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I know there's like some armor that like apparently like I heard from like IGN, there are like sometimes some armor things in the campaign that you can
unlock,
you can find unlock, and you can unlock in multiplayer. So fair enough, but like I don't think that's enough. I think they need to be rewarded for their support in a way that's actually tangible. And I think that would probably go a long way, not only to drive sales for Game Pass and Halo if you want to buy it a la carte, but also just kind of go a long way to alleviating some of the frustration that maybe some of the diehards are having, and a lot of people who are jumping in through Game Pass who, you know, you don't need Game Pass to play it, but I'm sure there are people who just so happen to be a part of it. So I don't know. It's a lot. It's a really complicated situation, especially when there's money involved and like there's already a progression system in there. Mm-hmm. But I think per match win bonuses, medal please. Bonuses, that needs to be integrated as soon as possible. Yeah. And honestly, dude, even if the progression is still super slow, I just want to know that when I do well, I'm rewarded for doing well.
There we go.
Yeah, and also, I think they're gonna. Oh, sorry, Cock. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just gonna suggest that like they're probably gonna stick with this challenge thing, and it would be so easy because they like to just dole out these little 50-point things. Like, just imagine if it's like get 10 kills, 50 extra points, win the game, 50 extra points. Yes. Like, yeah, you only got 150 by the end of it all, but at least it recognizes it. I think that's half the battle. Then we can talk numbers, we can talk balance, all that stuff, whether or not it's enough, because, you know, this battle pass, again, is supposed to last you till May.
Right.
The idea is that you can actually cruise through it. You don't just turn it out in a month and it's done. You can cruise through it a little bit. And I do like that, especially as a game reviewer. I know I have a very particular stance on it, but I really like that. But I think that's probably going to be the initial path they go. But I just wanted to wrap that thought up quick and dish it to you, Cog, because you were about to say something.
No, well, I totally feel what you guys are saying. I think we're going to learn a lot in the next couple of months with this whole situation, because the way with live service games, the way I see it with 343 is going to be how agile is the what I consider the live team, who are going to have to deal with the day-to-day implementation of things on the fly that may happen dynamically. Like, we're upset with the challenges and we're upset with the progression, right? Then there's usually that section of the team that is now dealing with future expansion, season two, season of the whatever, right? And maybe other aspects of the campaign and stuff. So what I did like initially was they did respond to a lot of gripes and they made some slight tweaks, and then you saw that update inside the game, right? So that to me represents the live team, right? Okay. So the pressure is going to be on the live team to see how quickly they can get this stuff implemented. And I think if that and the resources are in place, we'll be fine. I'm with Chris that one would think by official launch, because they actually, like, this is still the beta, even though damn well we know it's the game, but okay, cool. Yeah. You know, by launch, if we start to see those playlists and we start to see at least some implementation of the gripes, then I think we'll be in good shape. Right. Yeah,
I just think that beta stuff is bullshit because
totally.
Yeah, we know that.
Well, just I remember when I complained about the Battle Pass, people were like, imagine getting it early and still complaining. I'm like, they chose to launch it. If it wasn't ready and they still chose to launch it, that's not on us for having criticism.
Yeah, they also said it's essentially all of the day one content. It's not like this isn't like the whole, let's not pretend this is a beta. Come on.
Yes, come on.
Like it's just, I'm sure it's probably like maybe like a stress test beta, like at the most. But like, dude, like even Battlefield's beta was like, that's not a beta. Like that's just the game. They got some tweaks, but like there's not enough time. Like a beta, like 2 months before the game comes out isn't enough time.
Yeah.
For like a real beta. So you're going to tell me like a beta that's coming out like 3 weeks before the game comes out that leads into the launch of the game is a, like, that's not a real beta. Come on.
Yeah. Completely agree. Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot. You know, like I said, with that live team, I want to see, because again, as a Destiny fan, Chris, we know, you know, a lot of pressures on that team to be able to respond to gripes. And if you're not on it, or you're dismissive, or you try to force, like, oh no, this is perfectly fine how it is. And because sometimes there's that forced, what I could, artificial engagement where they know it's a long season and they're purposely trying to stretch XP being very little to keep you. Once players get onto that stuff, they get angry, they're out. So I think they'll be fine. But I do want to see come December 8th, how that thing changes from what we see.
Where
now.
Do they draw the line?
Exactly.
Right? And set us up for the future. So we will see. But gentlemen, any final thoughts on Halo Infinite multiplayer? Things that we didn't, that maybe we missed, that we want to add on here at the end?
I don't know, man. I'm having a good time with it. All my criticisms aside, like, I think I'm having a lot of fun here. I'm having more fun with Halo than I have in a very, very long time, especially with 343. Like, you know, Halo 5 had an interesting multiplayer that I thought was fun that just wasn't really Halo. And, you know, obviously campaign is not out yet. We're just in the multiplayer section. So, but I've been hearing good things about the campaign as well. You know, I don't know. I'm excited. Like, I think we're in a good place. I just think, again, you got to get on that, on this progression system.
Yeah.
And the playlist especially.
Absolutely. Yeah, same thoughts. I think it's in a fantastic place. Halo's back. The fun, you know, all criticisms aside, this is probably the most fun I've had with Halo in a long time. And to see everyone in the community pretty much universally in agreement, and even detractors that were like, hey, I'm not really much of a Halo guy, like, hey, I'm having so much fun right now. Like, this is, like, addicting gameplay. And to Chris's point, like, I'm just thinking about, okay, man, I can't wait to get back on. I can't wait to try this out again. You know, it's that feel again. And they've got it. And kudos to 343. We, you know, we kind of raked them over the coals a lot. We wanted to see how they were going to land the plane, so to speak. But on a core base level, the foundation is there. They got it. Now it's just a matter of executing the rest, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm with both of you. It's been an absolute blast going back to it. Easy hours sunk into this, and that's a really good sign. So we hope everyone who's listening has been enjoying Halo Infinite, and we also look forward to seeing your thoughts on this episode. We hope you enjoyed episode 43 of Defining Duke Ultimate. This was our Halo Infinite multiplayer discussion. Of course, we'll be back for campaign stuff and whatnot down the line, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Chris, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We really appreciate you, man.
Of course, man. Any opportunity I have to talk about this is one I'll take.
We will continue to provide. Of course, beyond the game's life, for those who are checking expectations, this is a live service game, so I'm sure future campaign expansions and multiplayer stuff, we'll have plenty more to talk about there as well. But with that, if all thoughts are concluded, we shall wrap this one up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again so much for listening to episode 43 of Defying Duke Ultimate, and we will catch you all in next week's episode. Peace out.
Peace.
Take care, guys.
Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is recorded from the United States of America. The show is conceived by Matthew Mr. Matty Plays Schroeder and me, Colin Moriarty, and is written and produced by Matthew Schroeder. Matty's co-host is Barry Lord Cognito Eversley. Defining Duke's executive producer is Dustin Furman, and the show is edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand Media's shows, including Defining Duke, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer support level on Patreon, and we're thankful for your kindness and generosity. Andrew Morgan, Stephen Nieder, Ross Marenka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SL of the FMA, Jorge Palomino, Daniel D'Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Dave Cowell, Tom Quinn, Sorta Serious Gaming, Unofficial Controller Podcast, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Zia Parix, Henry Groth, Joshua Rids, Relentless Rex, Troy Miller, Meyer Katz, Jordan Mittman, J.A. Zhu, Tristan Palacios, Drew Mullen, Christian R., Jad Rita, Kurt M. Gillenberg, Patrick Skipper, Sweaty Mitt, Chris Kelly, Dustin Graff, Peyton Stone, Roberto, Josh Talon Rui, Tyler Watkins, Troilus True, Dan Root, Talisman, Christopher, Randall Holsey, Robbie Nauman, Nuke Dukem, Jim Bob 56, William Holbert, Landon Pipkin, Dr. Stump, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Daniel Johnson, H-Trons, Ethan Davies, Jay Getter, Manuel Ochoa, Bjorn Campbell, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Slavinsky, Galja of Fortuna, Boots, Tyler Brown, Poot, Gavin Newland, Saul Balcazar, Zach Parsley, Brian White, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Alex Bolton, Matt Martin, Kinnams, Joseph Baker, Rodney Coleman, Chris Moore, Caswell, Antti Kinnanen, Chris, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Justin Gonzalez, Mason Kadalak, Ollie Fritz, Zach Allum, George Anthony Nunez, Kyle Hagel, Christopher, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Michael S., David Bostick, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, Damon W., Tom Cargill, Richter86, Steve Hodge, Holfeldian, Ian Bravo, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Kevin Komaki, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coach, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Jordan Town, Brian Chand, Organic Produce, Shane St. Pierre, Carlos Algarit, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Josh Yeager, Martin Beck, Gavin, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartland, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Joey Rawlings, Dennis Usel, Eric Finkenbeiner, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Dylan Burns, Jason Lusky, Malachi Wall, John Schultz, David Chestnut, Anton K., Brian W. Rath, Alan Trembley, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Tony Zaniga, Sean Battershall, Robbie Hensley, Alex Cabrera, Lennon Brixey, James Kinslow III, Will Caldwell, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, Tyler Goodwin, William O'Carroll, Jesper Jansen, Max Cannon, Phil Crone, Throw 7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Petro Rose, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gondoliger, Gerald Pennington, Justin Wagaman, David Iacolucci, Paul Joyce, Edwin Castillo, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Shane Rayum, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Keith A. Lewis, Marius Garson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Matthew Perdue, Patrick Harper, Mad Mock Media, Jonathan Rice, and Casual Misfits Gaming.